This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday the 11th of November. And guess what? It's Singles Day today. So if you haven't already gone online to check out what you're going to be buying, I suggest you do it soon. Xiaoning, you've already started, haven't you?
Yeah, I did at 4 this morning when I woke up. I had these things in my cart and I ran out and bought it. I guess, you know, at the end of the day, this is the cleverest marketing ploy that is out there. Just create a whole new day. I mean, of course, it's related to Singles Day.
I mean, but it already existed, actually,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but to take it and make it the biggest shopping day in the year is so clever. Hats off to Alibaba for thinking of it.
Yes, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that later, along with just a look at politics, because we've also had some comments from Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim over the weekend, talking about how we should be changing our political culture. And also we're going to be taking a look at imposter syndrome, which I have to admit, I have felt many times in my life. It's when you kind of find yourself in a position that you're like, oh, you know, am I really qualified for this? How did I find myself here? And we're going to be talking about that.
Don't we do that every day sometimes?
Yeah, so I think it's more common than a lot of people realize, because you always feel like you're alone when it happens.
Oh, you're just in denial.
You're just in denial.
No, it wasn't me. But actually, yeah, you're the big imposter in the room.
And if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Right now, though, we are kicking off the day with a bit of music. Here is Step On by Happy Monday, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin and Xiaoning. And today we're taking a look at imposter syndrome at 6 o'clock this Monday morning. And, you know, imposter syndrome is basically that feeling, you know, when you've, say, for example, been hired to do a job that, honestly, you come into it and you're thinking, oh, you know, I'm so glad to have this job. But in your heart of hearts, you're it's like, am I really qualified for this? And I don't think anyone really goes into a new challenge believing that, you know, without a doubt that they're going to be the absolute best at it. But there's also the part of you that sometimes you just have to overcome this kind of imposter syndrome, right? Sometimes it's all in your head.
Yeah, I mean, I think realistically, who comes into their job, especially when it's your first day and you've never done it before, hitting the ground running, knowing exactly what you're going to do, exactly how to do it and how best to do it. And if you did, I would think that's the real imposter syndrome that you're having.
Yeah,
I
mean, you have a really big problem there, yeah. Because you have a person who thinks they can do absolutely everything and then maybe doesn't see their own flaws.
Exactly. So a little bit of imposter syndrome within us all, I think it's not necessarily a bad thing. It keeps us kind of motivated to kind of just always improving. And that little bit of self-doubt when you think about it, is that a bad thing? I mean, when you question your ability because you want to improve, not so much until it sort of stops you from doing it at all.
Yeah.
You shouldn't freeze, but kind of motivate you to improve. And, you know, like always think about the process. Okay, you know, did I do better today? And how can I improve it every day?
Mm-hmm. I think that really is the key, because there are extremes to every situation, right? And when you have self-doubt that's to the point that it's crippling, that you can't do your job, then, you know, you have a problem. And it's how do you move on from that? And I have had those moments where, you know, I just basically had a mental shutdown because everything was piling on and you think, I can't do any of this. You know, I'm not good enough. I've never learned this. How do I catch up on all of this all at once? And for me, the biggest way to get over this was just the knowledge that, no, I have to pick myself up. There is no other option. What am I going to do? Quit? You know, so it's breaking things down into small wins. It's like, okay, you know, I don't understand this article that I'm reading. How do I understand it better? And you ask a friend, or you just break out a dictionary of financial terms, for example, in my case.
Google. Google's the cure-all for everything, right, in the office. No, I think it also makes a difference in terms of how you feel if you have a very supportive office,
mm-hmm.
a supportive colleagues and a supportive boss who also has to have a reality check, right, in terms of like the new guy that comes in. I mean, sometimes bosses can be unreasonable. They expect you to know A to Z, and it's impossible. Right.
Yeah.
So a good team, a good boss kind of eases you into this so that you don't feel so overwhelmed. I mean, when I joined BFM and it's media and it's radio, I mean, it's so specialized. It's so unique. I didn't even know how the mics worked, and it was just honestly the scariest thing. And I really felt like an imposter. But it was definitely helped by basically everyone just being very supportive and saying, don't worry, you will get there. And then, yeah, with time, it does get better. But of course, sometimes even on air, we always feel like, do we know enough? Could the show be better? And, you know, that drives us also to improve.
Yeah, I think that's important. And also just if you... I think having a supportive team is even more important if you fail, because everyone is going to fail at some point.
For sure.
And I've had bosses and immediate superiors who, when I made a mistake, and sometimes quite a dire mistake, their only response was to say, okay, well, this is your mistake. How do we move on from here? And they didn't dwell on it. They just, because, you know, in my head, I'm already beating myself up.
Yeah.
So I'm just like apologizing. I'm so sorry. And they're like, nope, don't apologize. Fix it.
And learn from it.
And they would sit down. They actually sat down and explained, like, they spent 5-10 minutes of their, you know, not insignificant time to explain, all right, this is very quickly how you do this. Go and do this first. Come back if you have any other problems. And I went away from that feeling a little bit more relieved, right?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, who knows everything? Honestly, that's the weirdo. Not so much the person.
That's the actual imposter.
Yeah,
right?
That's the actual imposter.
And sometimes it's also just modulating your expectations, right? You can't come out of it. So the Financial Times kind of had a little bit of a question on this. They had an advice call, a request for advice written in by a young woman in her 20s. And she, at one point she says that, you know, I beat myself up that I can't code or speak 5 languages. You're not going to be able to speak 5 languages unless you are,
a freak of nature.
I wouldn't go quite that far.
But highly clever.
Yeah. So it's sometimes just sitting back and not being so hard on yourself as well. But do let us know what you think. Have you experienced imposter syndrome? You can tell us. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you now and then more discussions. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Shaoning. Now, apparently, Alibaba's Singles Day, which is today, the 11th of November, is set to challenge the previous record in sales of $31 billion. And this is according to a Bloomberg article this morning. And we're going to be discussing this in a lot more detail also after the 7 o'clock hour. But just a quick survey here, Shaoning. How much of this $31 billion have you already contributed to this morning? Because you've already started shopping.
I did, because I have these items that I wanted to buy and I thought, I'll wait for the 11-11 sale. Actually, when I think about it, I got a little bit, you know, the discount was there, but it wasn't so great. But, you know, kudos to all the online e-shopping platforms that kind of push 11-11, because there is just so much marketing before it, right?
Yes.
And they're very clever in kind of like getting you incepted that this is the right time to buy the item. You know, the once a year thing, if you miss that boat, it's not going to come again for another 364 days. So whatever you do, put all this stuff into your cart and, you know, you'll get a good bargain. But actually, when you look at the actual discount, it was okay, but it wasn't that great.
And it's sometimes not even that much more of a discount than you get on normal days. Because on a lot of these e-commerce platforms, you do get significant discounts on items if you search hard enough, right?
Which is now really, when you think about it, the power of marketing and branding and advertising, right? And
yeah, so what Singles Day actually succeeds in doing is getting you to click the buy button.
Yes.
Right? Because you've had these items in your cart for, what, a few days, a few weeks?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I mean, these are the things, I mean, to be fair, these are the things that I really wanted. It wasn't like impulse shopping. Because I bought like really funny items, like a TRX for exercise. That's not random. But, you know, it's like I want these. And then I was like, oh, okay, because of the 11-11, you know, then maybe I should buy it. I'll put it in the cart. And I kept thinking about it. And I thought, okay, I'll go for it. But they're smart. Because when I looked at the website and the way they kind of sell it to you, they put the 11-11 everywhere within the website, right? You can't escape it. And then they bombard you with email messages like days before the event. I mean, when you think about it, this event just started in 2009. And look at it globally. It's like a phenomenon, because it's not just Alibaba that has it. Almost every shopping platform has joined the bandwagon.
Yes, so Lazada has a little toggle button that says show 11.11 products only. And these are the ones that are supposedly on, you know, extra discounts that you're...
Zalora joined the bandwagon?
Yes. And actually, recently, so I was in Bangsar Village over the weekend, and I noticed that actually even some brick and mortar shops have jumped on this 11.11 bandwagon to say that, oh, we're having, you know, extra discounts in store in the week coming up to 11.11. So you should come in and, you know, take a look and buy something, right? And so it's really become this global shopping phenomenon. It's not just limited to the online space anymore. And that is so fascinating because really it started out, you know, this 11th of November thing was a thing in China even before Alibaba, you know, completely hijacked it for their e-commerce purposes. Because this was supposed to be the day when, oh, you know, blind dates were very common on 11/11 because you wanted to match people up, you know, hopefully that all of these singles, so the ones, would find a partner and then become a one, hence the 11th of November.
So now these single people are actually staying at home and doing the shopping.
Yes, they are.
How is this helping your matchmaking chances?
I think originally it was like a treat yourself, you know, because Valentine's Day is when all the couples things start coming around. So 11/11 is now the time for you to spend on yourself.
Because you're sad and lonely and then hence you click, 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 click. I'm not sure the logic applies. It's kind of a, well, okay, yeah, why not? Do a little bit of shopping. But it's clever because you think, like you say, the brick and mortars are getting involved. Mm-hmm. All the online shopping guys are involved. It's really the power of this omni-channel marketing, isn't it?
Yes.
Not just one. So, you know, they're like, let's choose, take advantage of this shopping day, and everybody does it. And yeah, because we see stuff online and then we go to the brick and mortar shop and then we shop some more there too. Perfect. Very clever.
Yes, but do let us know, what do you think? Will you be participating in 11/11? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are heading into the 6:30 news now, but first, here to take you there is Falls with Exits, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was I Melt With You by Modern English, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wong Xiaoning. Now, there have been some comments from a particular political figure, that's Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim, over the weekend, and he has encouraged members of his party, so PKR, to try and propagate a political culture that is focused on the competition of ideas rather than this idea that politics has to be and is a tussle for power. It's an interesting comment, and personally, I would be all for it in an ideal and utopian situation, because that's what politics should be, right? You should be choosing your political figures based on what they have what they say that they're going to bring to the community, how they're going to better a community.
Or a country.
I mean, it starts at the community level, and then it scales up towards how they drive a country. But realistically, I'm not sure whether this is actually ever going to happen.
I don't know. Does everybody need a reality check on this? Because let's just be honest. Politics is one really, really, is it fair to use the word, dirty, complicated, convoluted game of compromises, strategy? I mean, all of the above, right? It takes a certain character to be a politician. I mean, if you were totally idealistic, I'm not sure whether you could survive even a year in politics. It would be tough.
It would be very tough. And I think, the thing they say about cynics is that cynics are really just disappointed idealists. And it's because the opposite of idealism is apathy. You just wouldn't care. But the people who go into government, or the people who observe government, are the ones who really want to see change. And when that doesn't happen year after year after decade, then you become a cynic because you're disappointed. Ultimately, I think that this is not an idea that is bad. I think it is something that everyone should strive towards. But at the end of the day, I'm just very unconvinced that we'll actually see this ever materialize. I do think the most important thing, though, is to educate the people when it comes to what politics should be. Because it's the Malaysian public who goes to the ballot box. And it's the Malaysian public who election after election, chooses personality politics rather than issue-driven politics.
Yeah, and the issues, unfortunately, that we talk about are the same ones, right? They're very centered on race, religion, and a lot of gutter politics. You know, let's just talk about all the bad things everyone's done, or drag out all the unnecessary history. You know, but yeah, it should be focusing on the issues. But, you know, at the end of the day, have we really evolved that much? Have we matured? That's the part I have a question mark.
I do think that GE14 shows us that we have matured to a certain extent. Whether or not that was driven by disappointment in Barisan Nasional or really, you know, a shift towards issue-driven politics rather than personality politics is a little bit up in the air. But ultimately, it showed the Malaysian public that they do actually have a voice and that their vote actually does carry power. And regardless of what happens, you know, in the remaining years until GE15, you know that you will turn out to vote because the Malaysian public drove change the last time.
Yeah,
what's
you
to
can
stop
make
it
a
from
difference.
Driving change another time.
Yeah, that's true. I think what really GE14 drove home for me is that every vote counts, mm-hmm. and it does make a difference, even though sometimes the odds look bleak.
Yes,
it's important to register your register and go out there and vote, even if let's say that constituency has like 30,000 majority. It
yes.
doesn't matter. Just go and do it.
Yes, and at the end of the day, also I think it does make people more politically aware. Because when, you know, the reason why people, for me, that I've seen, that people don't care about politics is they're like, yeah, you know, what is it going to matter? Why do I pay attention?
What difference
am I going to make? Now they know they can make a difference and therefore will pay a little bit more attention, even if it's just keeping an eye out for, you know, the front page of the newspaper. So that, I think, is a good change. We just need to drive that change somehow towards, you know, more issues rather than the personalities that dominate our political landscape.
Yeah, I think it's important to actually, for example, during elections time, to actually attend all the ceramahs.
Mm-hmm.
Be it for the MP that you want to vote or not, just attend them all so that you have maybe perhaps a view of what each candidate, what they represent. And that's when you find out about their ideals.
Well, do let us know what you think. Do you think that our political culture will be able to change in this way? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you, and then we'll be taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers. So stay tuned for that after this. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Float On by Modest Mouse, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Shaoning. Now, we're taking a look this morning at the newspapers, what we do every day. And looking at the Star. So the Star has gone with the headline, Voters Facing Fake News Dilemma. This is regarding the Tanjung Piai by-elections, which are upcoming at the end of this week, because it says that voters in the Tanjung Piai parliamentary constituency, they are swamped with fact and fiction as campaigning gets a lot more aggressive. And we did have comments last week as well from the likes of Lim Kit Siang, saying that actually Pakatan Harapan has the biggest challenge so far going into Tanjung Piai, which is that, you know, you have to somehow form these voters, educate them into the most media literate constituency in Malaysia in the face of all of this fake news, like, basically.
Well, it's been the case since GE13, not even GE14, mm-hmm. right, where let's say all this war is being fought on the different social media platforms, so I'm not surprised. Yeah, but as usual, you know, everybody needs to discern what they read, whether it's on a WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, and even discern what's being in the papers, mm-hmm. right? Because every paper has their own editorial kind of slant on it. Well, today on the H Daily, it's a bit of a dry story. It's banks have more to lend now, but loan demand is weak. It's basically the cut in the statutory reserve requirement, and that's to release 7.35 billion liquidity into the banking system. It's a form of an interest rate cut for the bank, but without an interest rate cut. And I think we'll talk a little bit more about this and whether it impacts the individual banking stocks. Now, as for the New Straits Times, the headline is Don't Punish Parents, because education activists say that penalising those who send their children to unregistered religious schools doesn't address the root of the problem.
Yeah, so just bouncing off what you said there, when you said it's important to really take a look at your news source, there was some news over the weekend about a Reuters survey that looked at which is the most trusted media organisation in Malaysia. And that actually did have some interesting results. So I've pulled it up, and there's an article in the Malay Mail online about this. And Basically, what it revealed that out of all of the media organizations, RTM is still the most trusted. And you know, I kind of raised an eyebrow a little bit at this. But then it makes sense because who watches TV the most in this day and age? It's still the rural areas. So in the rural areas, it does make sense that RTM would be viewed as their most trusted source.
It's also a very old mm-hmm. name. I mean, it's been around since, what, the 60s?
Yeah, so and it is the national broadcaster. So, yeah. You know.
So I suppose when you switch it on, you think, huh, this must be the news of the day, right? Mm-hmm. And for those who grew up watching it, they still turn it on, whether it's to watch the Malay news or the English news.
Yes, and in the online space, the most trusted is Malaysia Kini. Surprise, surprise. Particularly, I think, in urban areas, people tend to veer towards Malaysia Kini more.
But they just celebrated their 20th anniversary, right?
Yes, they did.
I mean, to be fair to them, they really quite radicalized the whole concept of subscription-based news. Mm-hmm. I mean, 20 years ago, who ever thought that you would pay money for something that you
certainly
see,
not in Malaysia.
Yeah, to see something online. And they were very different from any other news channel mm-hmm. or news source outlet that we ever had. So kudos for them, you know.
But looking also this morning at the Malaysian Reserve, their front page has gone with a story on Family Mart, which has muscled its way into the convenience store space. Now, before about 2016, I think the main convenience stores that we saw were 7-Eleven, were MyNews. But Family Mart has really just popped up. They started popping up like mushrooms in all of the weirdest places. And they're a very interesting convenience store concept. You know, this is out of Japan. And where basically, it doesn't just provide you with, a host of snack foods in plastic packets. It actually does offer you fresh food. And that was initially one of the most interesting things about a Family Mart to me.
Yeah, and they were quite clever. I mean, QL Resources, which brought in this Family Mart and is JV with the Japanese operators, does leverage on already QL's existing fish balls, surimi products. I mean, they do make all these frozen foods and fresh food. So yeah, and then for a change, it really opened our eyes that, hey, you can actually have a meal at a convenient,
pretty good meal,
yeah,
too.
A decent meal at convenience stores. I want to see more players come into this market. Maybe we might see the likes of Lawson, which is another Japanese player, come in. You know, competition on some level is good for everybody. We get variety. So hopefully there'll be more entrants. Now, in the Straits Times, I found this interesting article on this tech for death where you can use a live transcribe app, and it's basically best how to communicate with the hearing, the non-hearing community. I find this very interesting.
Interesting what technology has put forward in recent times. But of course, also on a number of the front pages is the fact that today is decision day for the SRC international case. It's going to be decided whether or not Dato' Sri Najib Razak will have to enter his defence. Do stay tuned throughout the rest of the day, because I do believe our own BFM news team will be covering this event, so you will receive news from us as well. But right now we're heading into the 7 o'clock news, and but first here is some music. Here's Race for the Prize by The Flaming Lips, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.